800-370-8128. 800-370-8128. That's 800-370-8128.
But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So, you know, Jesus was saying, why are you so fearful? Because I'm with you. They just didn't realize.
Heart to Heart with Beulah Query, every Monday and Tuesday at 11:15 a.m. right here on the Eagle.
According to the Bible, right living begins with right thinking. This wisdom comes from Romans 12, where Paul wrote, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reinforces this truth as we look at a story about a young king who revered God's word as the final authority. His name was Josiah. Chuck titled today's message, "Thinking Biblically."
Second Chronicles chapter 34. Drop down to verse 3. In the 8th year of his reign, while he's still young, Josiah began to seek the God of his ancestor David. It's no longer the faith of his mother, it's now his faith. This prompts me to tell you who have teenagers, take heart. Never underestimate the ability of a teenager when they get serious about the things of God. In the era of time when you are growing up and learning more about life, making decisions more and more on your own, you begin to choose priorities. You begin to weigh good and evil. You begin to consider the consequences of wrong actions, wrong decisions. And if you're blessed as we were with godly parents, you have the influence of that as well. All of that becomes a part of the mix by the time you're in your teenage years. Look at what it says. In his 8th year, still young, Josiah began to seek the God of his ancestor David. So the one Josiah looks back on is 350 years earlier, a man named David. He's not yet acting. He's seeking the Lord God. He's growing. He's growing deeper. Now action begins in his 12th year, when he turns 20. Look at what happens. The 12th year, he began to purify Judah and Jerusalem. What else? He destroys all the pagan shrines, Asherah poles, and the carved idols and cast images. What else? He ordered that all the altars of Baal be demolished and that the incense altars which stood above them be broken down. What else? He also made sure that the Asherah poles, the carved idols, the cast images were smashed and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He even burned the bones of the pagan priests on their own altars, so he purified Judah and Jerusalem. He did the same thing in other towns, and they're named for us here. He destroyed the pagan altars and the Asherah poles. He crushed the idols to dust, cut down all the incense altars throughout the land of Israel. Finally, he returned to Jerusalem. He does all of that as the leader of the people. And look how young he is. This is before he really reaches much of the age of a young adult. He's already engaged in these heroic acts of cleansing the land. One of the ways of dealing with idolatry is you burn what is left. Those who have been involved in the occult practices learn that you don't simply destroy or throw away those things, you burn them. There's something about purging from the burning that removes them from you. And he's burning this. The land is a furnace of purging. You know, it took courage. He's outnumbered. He certainly is younger than those around him that have been involved in such activities. the world system said, leave it alone, leave it, look, we've got a lifestyle and it's working for it. No, it's not working. No, this isn't right. How do you know that? His mother's influence. Through the Lord's working in his own heart. By the way, remind you here, he does not have a shred of scripture available to guide him. Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and Savonarola and Knox, those who led the Reformation, well, they had the whole word of God to go by. And what a reformation they led. This man has none of that. Not yet. For 57 years, count them, it's been under the godless influence of Manasseh and then Ammon. Too bad he didn't know his great-grandfather Hezekiah. What a godly influence he would have had on him. But Hezekiah's long since died. Josiah, on his own, courageously decides to move against the society in which he's a part of. In fact, as the leader, he decides he will, in fact, lead. Verse 8. In the 18th year of his reign, so he's now a young adult, 26. After he had purified the land and the temple, Josiah appointed Shaphan, son of Azaliah, Messiah, the governor of Jerusalem, and Joah, son of Joaz, the royal historian, to repair the temple. Watch closely. They gave Hilkiah, the high priest, the money that had been collected, who served as gatekeepers in the temple of God, and entrusted the money to those men. Verse 10. Now, verse 12. The workers served faithfully under the leadership of Jahath and Obadiah, Levites, and hard name, other Levites, all of whom were skilled musicians to put in charge of the labors of the various trades, still others assisted. And then, while in the process of cleaning out the temple, they find the scroll. They find the sacred scroll. Josiah's eyes have never been on the sacred scroll. And even though he's a 26-year-old man, he's never seen a copy of the scriptures. What a moment. The scroll is brought to the king, and they reported to him, who took care of the money, and Shaphan told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a scroll. In the middle of the Reformation, they are in the process of refurbishing and restoring the temple of God. And while there, Hilkiah the priest finds the book of the law. You know, you and I can hardly appreciate what life would be like without the scriptures. For 55 years, the scriptures have been ignored, set aside, covered over in the debris of the idol worship, not referred to, not used as a guide. In fact, what's interesting is that Josiah leads this restoration before he ever has a glimpse at the Word of God. He knows in his heart, from the witness of his own mother, who must have had some of the scriptures committed to memory so that she could communicate the truth to him and prepare him for what he had before him as a leader. And without having a copy of the scriptures, he's already involved in the restoration. But now look at what happens. They found the book of the law in the Lord's temple. They gave the scroll, which is not a book, but it's a scroll. And they took the scroll to the king. And we read at the end of verse 18, Shaphan read that scroll to the king. Now you imagine this 26-year-old man for the first time seeing a copy of the scroll of sacred writings. He's hearing sacred scripture for the first time in his life. I don't know how old you were when you first heard the Bible as it began to make sense to you, but there was something incredibly liberating about hearing the truth. Finally, I have something I can rely on, something I can count on, something that will never lead me astray, something that will prepare me for whatever life throws at me. This is the Bible. We're around it so much, it sort of loses its significance. But he not only has the influence of a godly mother, now has the word of God. And we read in verse 19, when the king heard what was written in the law, he tore his clothes in despair. Look at the way we've been living. Look at what God says is the way we ought to be living. Look at the sacrifices we ought to be observing. Look at these feasts we've not been honoring. Look at all of this. And he tears his clothing in despair and heartbreaking moment as his tender heart begins to break under the reality of God's truth. He immediately gave orders that this truth was to be carried out in the lives of the people around him. This is what God has written, and this is what we are to follow. How thrilling it was for him to realize that God's word speaks about the times in which they lived and gives guidance on how to conduct themselves as spiritual men and women. Verse 29, the king summoned all the elders. The king went up to the temple of the Lord with all the people, along with priests and the Levites, all the greatest to the least. There, look at this. The king read to them the entire book of the covenant that had been found in the Lord's temple. I've named the influence of a godly parent as one of the reasons. The respect for the word of God, for the sacred scrolls, as a second. I would name third Josiah's tender heart. It's one thing to have a copy of the scriptures, but to have your heart so hardened, just like reading just another piece of information. But when you have a heart like Josiah's, your heart breaks when you realize how you have failed to keep the teachings of the Word of God. I'm not going to camp on this needlessly long, but I have to say something here to you. I mentioned in my last message the importance of staying enthusiastic about spiritual things. Because when you do not, you become hardened. Your heart is no longer moved. You're not that convicted unless you've got a tender heart like this. Josiah hears it and sees it as the scroll is unrolled, and I must have said, wait, read that again. Read that again. And he hears it. 26-year-old man for the first time seeing scripture. And the result is he leads this incredible body of people into a full-on reformation and revival. In fact, verse 33 says he removed all the detestable idols from the entire land and required everyone to worship the Lord their God. And throughout the rest of his lifetime, they did not turn away from the Lord, the God of their ancestors. You know what he does in chapter 35? Reestablishes the Passover. If you're not Jewish, it doesn't mean much to you. If you are, it means everything. It is that annual significant feast where you remember how God delivered your ancestors from the Egyptian bondage. And the same God who did that will continue to deliver you from the dreadful times in which you live. He reestablished it. He set it up. In fact, one of the verses says that there was never a time in which the Passover had such significance as in the days of Josiah. He set it all up because of his tender heart toward the Word of God. I was reading John R.W. Stott recently as he writes in his book on 2 Timothy. And his words convicted me. Listen to what he says. We must daily soak ourselves in the scriptures. We must not just study as through a microscope the linguistic minutiae of a few verses, but take our telescope and scan the wide expanses of God's word, assimilating its grand themes of divine sovereignty in the redemption of mankind. It is blessed, wrote Charles Haddon Spurgeon, to eat into the very soul of the Bible until at last you come to talk in scriptural language and your spirit is flavored with the words of the Lord so that your blood is Bibline. I love that. What's your blood type? I'm Bibline. I'm going to use that next time they ask me when I'm getting my exam. I'm Biblically. And the very essence of the Bible flows from you. You know who that is? That's a person who takes God seriously, who says his word is not just another book. It is, in fact, life, life-giving, and my guide for priorities I choose and decisions I make and the way we will handle things in our home, the way I will conduct myself in my business. These are the friends I will choose, close friends. These are the decisions. This is how I will spend my money. This is what I'm going to invest in. It guides you into all of that, which now brings me to the application on making a difference. First of all, where do I start if I want to go there? And I so hope you do. Second, what should I ignore? And third, how do I proceed? This won't take long, but it's worth hearing. Where do I start? Listen to me. Very general answer. Wherever you are allowing the world system to corrupt your mind, that's where you start. Wherever you are allowing the world system to corrupt your mind. I can remember it almost as if it were last week when I decided to get really serious about the scriptures. I remember my mother always had been, my brother, as long as I can remember, was. But I remember thinking as an older teenager, you know, the path I'm taking is stupid. I may be having some fun for now, but if I stay on that path, I'm heading for major trouble. And I got under the influence of the Word of God, and I'm going to tell you something. I began to focus, and I haven't stopped. Haven't stopped. You have to look at the doors of entrance in your life. That's your eyes, your ears. These are gatekeepers. What are you looking at? What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? You know, every time I listen to the news, my filter system kicks in. That's why I talk to the TV. You know you're getting older when you have a conversation with the TV right there. Such things as, you are wrong. And my wife will say, I know. I know it. You know why? Because my filter system won't let me believe that nonsense that I'm hearing. I won't let it corrupt my mind. Not all news is corrupting, but a lot of it is. The thinking of the world always is. So I have to stop whatever it is that I've been doing in that area. Here's the second. What do I ignore? Whatever is keeping me from taking God seriously. I don't know what it is in your life. That's why I'm leaving in general. Is it your choice of close friends? Or are they dragging you down? Wrong friends. Get away from them. How about your reading material? Is it edifying? Or is it destroying your serious walk with God? Then stop it. Some habit is taking a toll on you. Find a way to get rid of it, to end it. Come to terms with it. It's weakening you. Whatever is keeping you from taking God seriously. Finally, how do I proceed? I'm going to name three things that a mentor of mine mentioned and modeled beautifully. How do I proceed? First, with an open Bible. You ought to be in this book at least sometime every day of your life. Every day. I know most of you are not ministers. I'm not asking you to be. Being in the Word of God in whatever study program you choose, it will help you to begin to think biblically. Second, cultivate a tender heart. Inviting the truths that you are gleaning from the printed page, from the scriptures, wherever it may be, Old or New Testament, inviting that to impact your home, your work, your decision making, your social world, your priorities. You open your heart to those truths and invite the Lord to do a work deep within. Josiah tore his clothes. He was so burdened over the fact that they had failed the Lord for so long. A open Bible, a tender heart, and here's the toughest, a willingness to change. A willingness to change. Something in Josiah said to him, you've heard what God has written, change. And he did. He was willing. You got to break with tradition, break with tradition. You got to change churches, change churches. You got to stop doing stuff that you've been doing around your house or all alone all this time, then stop doing it. It's another thing entirely to invite change once you see what the print on the page is saying. I'd like you to bow with me for just a few moments, please. Perhaps this is the first time it's really made an impact on you that God's word is for you today, now, for these times. Maybe it's the first time you've realized how you've allowed the system to shape your thinking so that you have become misguided, confused. Maybe you realize you have never in your life trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I urge you to turn to Him. Let Him take over your life to give you forgiveness and hope and a reason to go on. And as you trust Him, let us help you get underway in your walk with Christ. Thank you, our Father, for the model who lived this perfectly, your Son. He left the perfect environment with you, and he came to this sin-cursed earth where no one ever really understood him, where he ultimately was cursed and spit on, hated, and finally spikes driven in his hands and feet, and even then said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Thank you, Father, for a model like that. And may it strengthen us to make some changes so that we begin to move in the right direction and break the habits of a wrong direction. Start in our lives and may it wash over into others who love us and care about us. Use these words in a very direct way to turn our attention to what you have said and away from what this culture is saying. I pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Everyone said, Amen.
Today's subject truly represents the core passion of this ministry, to help men and women all over the world think biblically. You're listening to Insight for Living and the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. According to Romans 12, renewing our minds and thinking biblically starts and ends with immersing ourselves in God's Word. And today, we'd like to give you a couple of next steps for growing deeper in your understanding of the Bible. First, we invite you to use the helpful study notes called Searching the Scriptures. Chuck and his team have carefully prepared this creative study tool for you, and I'd encourage you to take advantage of this free resource. Print out the PDF and take notes while you're listening to the programs, or use them in your small group Bible study, or to prepare a sermon. To access the Searching the Scriptures guide for each of Chuck's individual messages, go to insight.org/studies. And second, let me recommend that you request a book Chuck has written. It's founded on Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount and called Simple Faith. And whether you're a serious student of the Bible or you're just beginning to learn what it means to follow Jesus, we believe this 14-chapter book will help you. To purchase a copy of Simple Faith, go to insight.org/offer or call 1-800-772-8888. These daily programs are made possible because people like you give voluntary gifts. And through your support, people all over our country and even around the world are learning what it means to follow Jesus. It was encouraging to read a recent comment from a listener in Atlanta who told us this story. He said, I come from a violent alcoholic home with all of the dysfunctions that go with that lifestyle, from poverty, sexual abuse, and criminal activity.
Gratefully, I got saved and was immediately discipled by men in my church. In addition to being mentored through my church, Chuck Swindoll's insight, caring approach, and football coach-like admonitions were a huge part of redeeming my life. I was headed in the wrong direction before following Jesus, but thanks to servants like Dr. Swindoll, I changed my family tree for at least this generation and the next. Thank you for all you've done for millions around the world. Well, such an encouraging note from one of your co-listeners. And if you're among those who financially support Insight for Living, you can see that your investment has truly made a difference. To give your next donation right now, call us at this number, 1-800-772-8888. Or you can easily give a gift by using our mobile app or by going online to insight.org. If you prefer, you can send a check in the mail by writing to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. You've heard him teach about the Holy Land, using word pictures to make us feel like we're actually strolling through the old city.
Learning about Jerusalem is fascinating for sure, but seeing the land of Israel with your own eyes is life-changing. In fact, it's absolutely magnificent.
And now you can see Israel with Chuck Swindoll and the gracious hosts and experts assembled by Insight for Living Ministries. Join us on an unforgettable 12-day tour, March 6th through 17th, 2022.
At special sites along the way, I will teach from God's Word. We'll worship at the Mount of Beatitudes and share the Lord's table at the Garden Tomb. In fact, we'll sail the Sea of Galilee together, and we'll visit places where Jesus walked and taught.
To learn more, call 1-888-447-0444.
Just imagine walking along those sacred sites and seeing the Bible come to life before your very eyes.
Mark your calendar for March 6th through 17th, 2022, and make your reservation by calling 1-888-447-0444 or go to insight.org/events. Insight for Living Ministries' tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Join us again next weekend when Chuck Swindoll begins a message about demonstrating wisdom right here on Insight for Living.
This is the Old Trailblazer, Pastor Albert Pendarvis, inviting you to join me and Old Dan for the Old Trailblazer broadcast as we blaze a path through the hearts of sinners Monday through Friday on this great radio station. We're just an old-fashioned ministry preaching God's Word as it is to men as they are. So listen each Monday through Friday for the Old Trailblazer broadcast on this radio station.
The Old Trailblazer broadcast, weekday mornings at 9:15 on 770 AM and 93.3 FM.
But as it always is, it's a righteous remnant that makes the difference. Friend, I may not make a difference in the world. Bless God, I can make a difference in my world, my church, my family, my little area where I live. So can you.
The clip you just heard is from the program Voice of Victory, led by Brother Walker. If you'd like to hear more of Voice of Victory, you can catch them Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday mornings at 11:15 a.m. right here on the Eagle.
That dream house, the shiny work truck, the lake boat, even a better job. All that could be yours with better credit. Credit Pros has helped over 100,000 clients fix their credit and put cash in their pocket. What do you have to lose? Claim your one-time credit evaluation free at 888-637-5418. That's Credit Pros, 888-637-5418. Imagine the life you'll have. Credit Pros, 888-637-5418.
WCGW, Nicholasville, The Eagle 93.3 FM and 770 AM, a Christian Broadcasting System station.
The following program is sponsored by Focus on the Family.
Welcome to Focus on the Family's weekend broadcast. We hope the following program will challenge you and encourage you in your faith journey.
Now, with freedom always comes responsibility. So by letting go of one thing, you also leave